if you're struggling in an environment that's not the best for you, continue to function in your best there. Be content in the space that you are growing in, because even every challenge is an opportunity for growth.
Welcome to the Rise with Diana podcast, the podcast for working women leaders who are dedicated to doing the greatest work in a sound body, mind, and spirit. I'm Diana Patton, ex-corporate executive and civil rights attorney turned entrepreneur and business coach, helping working women leaders to gain the confidence to speak up and advocate for themselves and take uncomfortable action through daily disciplined practices to experience true life success without sacrificing their sanity. It wasn't that long ago that I was taking things way too personal, secretly having something to prove, and doing my best to fake it like I had it all together. I thought the appearance of success was the glue holding my life together, but it was that appearance of success and hustling to prove my worth that was ruining my life. In this podcast, my goal is to teach you the tried and true secrets of living your greatest authentic life. You with me? Let's get ready to rise. Welcome, everyone, to the Rise with Diana podcast. I'm so excited, y'all. I have the most amazing special guest here today. You know, when you meet someone and you just go, whoa, this is a person that is about greatness. There is a halo over top of this individual. And you're like, Diana, you say that about every guest. Well, it's true, because everybody who comes onto the Rise with Diana podcast definitely is like this collision of awesomeness that we kind of knew that we were in the lineup to come to Earth together. So I want to welcome to the Rise with Diana podcast, LaTanya Wilson, from the Shriver Law Poverty Center in Chicago, Illinois. LaTanya, I'm so glad that you're here. And I would love for you to start us off by sharing a little bit of your background, how you got to where you are, and just share a little bit about your family.
Okay. Well, I am a single mother of two. I started out in a family where my father was a pastor, and we were Mennonites, which is predominantly, there's not very many African American Mennonites. And my father led civil rights. We called it civil rights and not racial justice or diversity and equity back then. Yeah. In the Mennonite church, my mother led peace conferences. And led and created a women's Mennonite organization that's still going on today. Wow. I was raised to be a person of service. My parents were social justice minded. I grew up in a home where my home was, it was open. And my parents, my mom would make dinner on Sunday mornings for whoever would show up after church. And I was talking to my mother one time recently about this family of five that moved into our house. And I was remembering like this particular family, we had to share everything. And I said to my mom, I was like, I remember how that was. And she said, well, that wasn't that family. That was another family. I said, you guys did that twice? Two families of five moved into our home at different times because they didn't have a place to stay. And my father invited this is just a story about how I grew up. My father told this choir that if you ever came to come to Philadelphia, just let me know. We'd be happy to see you. The choir got stuck at the Philadelphia airport. And they called my father and they came to our house and there were 30 of them all over the place.
Oh, what?
He wasn't just talking. He meant it.
Wow.
That's how I grew up. I grew up in a family with like a person of service. And so, and that is the way I live my life today.
Yeah.
You know, I believe that I'm not supposed to just consume. Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to give and be service. Yeah.
Unbelievable. You know, just before we got on here, you know, Mark and I were talking. Mark is the individual who does all of the beautiful work behind the scenes with the Rise with Diana podcast. And he was talking about himself being at this conference and they were all in the gym and it was 30 people. No lie. He said 30 people, too. But they were all sleeping and he woke up in the middle of the night and heard everybody kind of snoring and all the things. I could imagine what you were hearing with all these people there. That is beautiful to have that as a background. And was it something that you enjoyed or was it something that you felt like what is happening or maybe just didn't know any difference? And then how did that mold you into being, you know, the corporate career you are today with all these people being your house?
When I was a kid, like it was, that's why everybody looked that way. I didn't know any different. I didn't know any different. My parents had decided that we would live in a poor neighborhood in North Philadelphia with the hope that we were middle class, but we live in a poor neighborhood in Philadelphia with the purpose of having influence. Mm. But the way I look at that now, like when you do something like that, you do that in community, right?
How beautiful.
You do that with a group. Right. But it informs me in that I grew up as a woman of faith, a child of faith, always went to church as a kid and had an experience where God spoke to me about becoming a lawyer when I was about 14. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know any lawyers, didn't even know how long law school would take. And just became dedicated to achieving that. Mm. And that's how I came to the career that I have now.
And share what do you do now? Tell us what you do now.
Okay. I work as a VP of advocacy at the Traverse Center on Poverty Law. I lead a team of advocates that work in different substantive areas, including health, housing, economic justice, community and family justice, which is child welfare, and community reentry. We also have networks, the racial justice networks, which is the alumni network for Racial Justice Institute, where we teach people about systems change with the racial justice lens. And we also have the Legal Impact Network, mm-hmm. which is a 33-member multi-issue state-based advocacy organization. Mm. And so that's the team that I lead. When I first became a lawyer and before I became a lawyer, my plan was to work at a prison. So that was my dream job, work at a prison. So when I first got out of law school, that's what I did.
Wow.
And I worked in a prison for almost 5 years.
Yeah.
Defending parole violators and traveling around Northeastern Ohio. At the jails wherever the person would get arrested. And I would represent them in their hearings.
Wow.
First law job.
Are y'all feeling like you want to be her friend? Because as I've gotten to know you, I just am so intrigued by the knowing you had. And something I want everyone to hear is when you decided, okay, first of all, let me just let the listeners know, she kind of brushed by this, but I almost fell on the floor when she said it because her life reminds me of Martin Luther King. When did you graduate from high school? What age were you?
I was 16.
Okay, y'all, she was 16, okay, going to high school. Please walk us through what was going on in your heart and mind for you to know, and she knew she was going to law school. She knew that she wanted to work with criminals. You said you had God speaking to you at 14. Did you have a conversation with him saying, I'm going to be done at 16? Or what? How does this work?
I was at this retreat. It was a youth retreat. Mm-hmm. And I was with my friends. And they talked about the death penalty at this retreat, but we were experiencing what we thought was some demonic stuff that was happening in our youth group. And so we decided to go into prayer. So we are all in this circle and we're praying about this issue. And the Lord spoke to me very clearly, dropping in my spirit, that I would, that I was called to be a lawyer and that I was called to work in a prison. Like it was like I'm talking to you today. We're in the circle. And I remember when we finished praying, I jumped and I said, I'm supposed to be a lawyer. I'm going to be a lawyer. And I was so, and I told everybody in the group, they're friends of mine that you can call today. They remember that. That's what I said I was going to be.
Yeah.
And I knew it. And I went home from the retreat telling my mother, I want to be a lawyer. I'm going to be a lawyer. The Lord talked to me. And I was in high school. When I got to high school, I wanted to be finished as soon as possible. And I went to a school that was called Parkway. It's Parkway Program. And it had sites around the city. Mm-hmm. And you were able to pick your classes. It's called the School Without Walls. And all of the teachers, you were able to call them their first by their first names. And so you were able to pick your classes. Most people took like 15, 16 credit hours. Is it 15? I took 21.
Wow.
So I would be done early. So I would go to school. You know, most people go to school at 8 and they're done like at 3. Most of the time I was done at like 5.
Wow.
I was taking extra classes so that I could be finished. I wanted to be finished.
She just wanted to be finished, y'all. These other 16-year-olds are like, when can I not be finished, right? You know, they just want to get out of the house. They don't want to graduate. But this is profound. So you've kind of known for a while about this thing we talk a lot about on the podcast called superpowers. Like, you've known for a while that you have them. Please tell us what you believe your superpowers are.
I believe my superpowers, one of them, is loving people where they are, seeing them, listening to their stories. I believe that's one of my superpowers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would imagine that the people that were in the jail really experienced this. Can you share some insight into that first experience right out of college or law school? Was that
out of law school? Yeah.
And you went in, and what were some, can you share maybe a profound moment maybe that you experienced in that whole process?
I was so excited. Even when I think about it, like right now, I felt like I lived for that job. Like, I didn't have to write anything. Every day I had to ask people questions. I'm meeting people all the time. And in a prison, it's a place where people's liberty is restrained, and therefore their souls and spirits are restrained. Mm-hmm. They are counted as numbers, and it is not a loving, kind place, right? Mm-hmm. It's very restrictive. And so I arrived there very excited, thinking that, you know, the Lord had placed me there. Like, this is my calling. That's, I was supposed to be there. And I remember one of my first days, I had to watch hearings, like, because I didn't know how to do it yet.
Right.
So I'm watching hearings. And I heard the other attorney asking questions. I was like, okay, I can do this. I can do this. The second day, we were supposed to meet and I was supposed to watch another hearing. And the other attorney, there was a conflict and he couldn't come. And I had to, and they said, are you up to this? Can you do this? And I did it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a serious, the cases would range from a person testing positive for a drug or not going to a meeting to something as serious as rape. It could be anything.
Mm.
My first hearing was possession of a firearm and having to defend that. And I remember just how excited I was about the whole experience,
right.
being able to represent someone and being able to hear the story and then make sure that the other side did their job, you know?
Yeah. That's beautiful. There's so much to say about all that. And I wonder, have you always known and been in touch with, I like to call it your authentic self? It is something I believe we almost separate from. Our soul comes to this earth knowing exactly what we're supposed to do. But then through, you know, conditioning, you know, work or hurts or habits, we've pulled away. Do you feel your authentic self shows up in your workspaces, in your family, or has there ever been a time where you felt that was being diminished? Share a little bit about that.
So I haven't always shown up as myself. I haven't. I used to tell people would ask me, why did you become a lawyer? And I would make up some story. Mm-hmm. I didn't always tell the truth about that. I used to say, well, my mom was a social worker and I wanted to help people. That was the story I would say.
Yeah.
I wouldn't tell the truth. Right. And I think,
tell us why would you not tell the truth? What was that for you?
Because I didn't want to sound crazy.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Gotcha. Right.
I didn't want to sound crazy. And once you tell people that God spoke to you when you were 14, there's a lot of things that come with that.
Right.
And I wasn't prepared for all those things when I was younger. I wasn't prepared for all those things. I didn't want to have a deep conversation about what that was like or what that meant for me today.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't tell the truth.
Right.
So now anybody asks me, I always tell the truth now, but I didn't always. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how did you get to that space?
I realized I started reading my Bible more and I started praying more. And I realized that every room that I walk into, God put me there on purpose. Mm. And if I don't show up, and I'm the only one that can show up as me.
Mm. Come on. Did y'all hear that? Hashtag this. Okay, because sometimes I say this and because, you know, I have this beautiful woman, Yanaya, who listens to all these and she can hashtag that part right there. Okay, that part. Thank you so much. Seriously, go on. I hope I didn't mess up your train of thought.
Yeah, I'm the only one that can show up as me. And I realized that because sometimes you go into spaces and you're trained sometimes to perform in a way that someone else does. Like you're when they give you a guide. So this is the job and this is the way it's been done. And this is what you need to do. Mm-hmm. I realized that in order for me to do whatever it is I'm assigned to, I have to do it as me and not as someone else.
Mm-hmm.
I would fail at it if I'm doing it the way that they do it. Mm-hmm. I have to do it the way that I do.
Mm-hmm.
And so once I realized that, and I realized that every room I walk into, God has placed me there on purpose to be me.
So perfect.
That I needed to be true to why I got there and how I got there, recognizing that God has already placed me there and God places me wherever I need to be.
Mm.
And so once I realize that, then I show up as me.
Yes.
I say who I am. You know, when I get hired at a job, they know.
Mm-hmm. They know that I am that I am. And that I am.
They know. I have said this.
Yeah.
I've said this multiple times. I say this and I believe this. I am God's absolute favorite.
Mm.
But so are you.
Yes. Yes. I love that.
And I live my life.
I feel that. I feel that it actually bounces off of you. And this is the hope we all need when we're really in these crossroads, because that's why we do the Rise with Diana podcast, because most of us are disconnected from ourselves and we're not going to the source of truth. We're not going to the source of our creation. And you chose to go to the source of creation. And so therefore, you know why you show up in every room. Can you point to a critical turning point? Because often a lot of people want to hold on to things that aren't serving them well. And as a result of that, they really might be going to the source, but it takes sometimes this critical turning point that says, okay, I surrender all. What was that? Did you have that in your life? And what was that for you?
I would say it happened multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that critical point happened multiple times. And I'd say the most recent time is I was out of work and working for myself. And I signed up to go to a prayer retreat.
Mm.
I'd been following this person on Facebook. And she was a prayer. She would pray every morning at 6 o'clock. And she and I was following her, had been following her. And when she announced that she was having this prayer retreat, fasting and praying in the wilderness of Mississippi, I said to myself, I've got to get there.
Yeah.
Gotta get
there. Yeah.
And I'd never been to Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know anybody else who was following this particular person. And I show up at the prayer retreat. It's raining. It's raining on my way, like cats and dogs, like mm-hmm. you can't see in front of you. And I'm driving to the prayer retreat and I realize I'm like, something great's going to happen. I'm facing this much resistance. Had a wonderful time at the prayer retreat. Met some wonderful people. Came back home and my life didn't fit.
Mm.
Went back to the same job, same house, same. I was married at the time, husband, kids. I went and it just didn't fit. Like I got home and it's like, this does not fit anymore.
Wow.
And so I asked the Lord for support to do whatever it was that I needed to do. Cause I couldn't just walk away from my life. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't fit. So what do I do? So I began to pray some more. Ask for guidance, ask for direction, and just opened my mind to, like, God, where are you going to take me?
Mm-hmm.
When I came back from the prayer retreat, I got a job. The day I left for the prayer retreat, I had a job interview.
Mm-hmm.
When I got back, I got the job.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord had previously told me I had been on a trip. I was in California in that same month, actually. In that same month, the Lord told me that place is important.
Mm.
That there is a blessing that you have that God has given you for where you are.
Mm-hmm.
If you refuse to move from that place, when God tells you to move, that there are things that you won't receive as a result of it. And so God had already told me that place is important. And I'm one of these people that visualize things.
Yeah.
So if there's something that I want to happen in my life, I look for the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been looking for, I had a great house there, mm-hmm. but I had been looking for the vision, mm-hmm. the vision house, the house where I wanted to live. And I had been looking, like, it's just a hobby really, to look for the dream, right?
Mm, yeah.
And the Lord had told me that it wasn't in Toledo, Ohio.
Mm.
I'm like, okay, so I'm going to stop looking, mm-hmm. right? So I had all of that. And then I got a life coach that helped me navigate my difficult marriage and helped me recognize that I needed to leave that situation.
Yeah.
I was planning to just fix it.
Yeah.
I was planning to fix it. And she helped me see. I said to her, I said, I don't want to leave it. I just want to fix it. It just needs to be fixed. You just mm-hmm. need the break, need to be fixed. She said, I don't know if you can be healed in the place where you were harmed.
Mm.
And I said, okay. But I'm not really leaving. I'm just, you know, this is going to work out because God had been answering my prayers. God answers my prayer. And so I expected God to fix it. And God had already told me I needed to leave. God had told me that there were things that God was going to give me that I couldn't get if I stayed there.
Right.
And so God told me how much I needed to save. Mm. God told me when I needed to leave. And so I followed all of those instructions. And then the night, the when I woke up in the new condo, when I woke up in that condo, I realized that I had been in bondage. Mm. And I was not aware.
Wow.
So I would say that was the prayer retreat was the turning point.
Yeah. And that just trickled down from there.
Right. Just a whole shift.
Because hashtag, it doesn't fit. I mean, you know, there's such a metaphor we could say about that. Because we were talking on, by the way, I just want the listeners to know that, you know, there's just so much I've got to say about you and then a few other women that I've just gotten to know that we'll be on the phone forever, right? We were just talking forever. And when you said that, hashtag, well, I said hashtag, it doesn't fit. Because when you get a knowing and you get a word, it's like you got to know when to go, move, when to go. And you mentioned this and you said, because I talked about manifestation. I talk about like manifesting things. And you said, I've always known, I didn't call it that, but that's something that you've been doing. You know, looking for the dream, you call it. I wrote it down. Looking for the dream, moving towards the dream. And often, I love what you said. Did y'all catch this? You can't heal in the same environment that you've been hurt in, right? You just dropped so many gems. I always like to make certain it just was like a skirt. Listen, we got y'all. You have to recognize the environment that you're in. And we talk about on this podcast that we do want to fix it, right? But oftentimes it may not be yours to fix. It could be that you need to be moved over here. Then when you're in this space, to figure it out. We talk about passion. Pause, assess, get some space, and then speak. Because that, you'll be able to get into a different place. So profound, and thank you for that. That just blessed me. Have you ever felt that you have had to shrink down, either at work, and how, I mean, so it sounds like you've been rebounding from a lot of these, I would call shrink down moments or shifting moments, really just turning back to God. But do you ever find that you shrink down in your workplace and, you know, where you feel you're not able to be your full authentic self at work?
Well, I don't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
I don't shrink down anymore.
Yes.
Now, what it means when you show up as who you are.
Yes.
And you don't shrink down anymore, you get trouble in certain spaces.
Mm-hmm. Tell us.
But I don't do that anymore. I used to when I was in my early career. Like, I would not say everything. Mm-hmm. And even here, I started here. I would not say everything. But my boss, I would say to her, this is what happened in this meeting. And she would say, did you say it? Mm-hmm. And I said, no, because mm-hmm. I had just gotten here. And I said, no. And she said, you need to say it. You mm-hmm. need to say it. And I said, okay. Mm-hmm. So the next time the thing happened, I said it. Because mm-hmm. I don't want to face her where right. she's telling me.
To say what you said. Say what you said.
Right. So... And my previous roles, I would get accustomed to what was going on, get a feel for what was happening,
right.
get comfortable with what's happening, and then say the thing,
yeah.
right? And then completely show up. Here, when I got here, she didn't want me to do any of that.
Like, right.
If you see it, say it.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
And so, trusting people.
Yeah.
She trusted you. And this is the thing I think with a lot of folks is when you get into jobs, I've been in those jobs where we've been taught, you know, and it's good to observe. It's good to listen. It's good to take inventory. But when you know you need to speak, you need to speak. and really trust yourself. And I think what we're hearing from you is the homework I believe a lot of us has is we've got to spend more time getting to know us to really get comfortable with who we are from the source of, you know, the creation that gave us that. You know, some people in this podcast listening, they aren't Christians. But I'm going to tell you something. You got to find out where that source is. We just happen to believe it's God. And we know that is the source of our strength and our truth. So I just really encourage people to find that peace that passes all understanding. Because sometimes you're not going to understand, but you know that there's peace wherever you're supposed to go. You just have to go. So I want to ask you, right, Latanya, do you feel you're doing your greatest work? And if so, what do you believe your greatest work is for you?
I don't believe I'm doing my greatest work.
Tell me.
I'm not doing my greatest work. Mm-hmm. Let's see, what would my greatest work be? It would include some writing, mm-hmm, some speaking, some thinking, mm-hmm, some sharing. It would include all of those things and some space.
Yes, and some space.
I think I am a recovering workaholic. Mm-hmm.
A lot of people on this podcast are. Just telling the truth. Yes.
Right. So because of that, uh-huh, I require space.
You got some space.
It has to be built in. Otherwise, my calendar is completely full.
Yeah.
You know, I spend every moment, mm-hmm, from time I wake up to time I go to bed working.
Right.
I don't do that.
Yeah.
But I would.
Yeah.
If I don't create space.
Right. We have to create that margin.
You have to. So I'd say that would be what my greatest work is, mm-hmm, that I'm not doing all of those things.
Yeah. Well, this is beautiful because we here at the podcast can really help encourage you. And I happen to know your phone number. So we're gonna work that out, okay? What keeps you centered, focused, and balanced since we're talking about this? What are some key critical components, either that you know you should be doing, which I think you're starting to do, or that you are doing? Because obviously there is a sense of peace in you, right? So what is it that you turn to? And I think we kind of know, but I want to know specifically, because when we hear these things, we can see that in our lives.
So I have to pray. I have to spend time with God every day. Mm-hmm. I have to do that first. And I have to exercise.
Yes.
I have to have a habit of exercise.
And can you tell people what your goal is? Because I know, but let's help her keep accountable to this.
For my 50th birthday, I gave myself muscles.
Come on, muscles. Use the muscles.
I can give myself things that no one else can give me.
Come on.
So for my 50th, I got muscles. So for my 54th birthday, and I just turned 53, I'm going to run a marathon.
Yes.
And part of the reason that I'm doing that, it's not because I love to run. It's because I need to work on that discipline muscle and the discipline of training for a marathon will help me get more disciplined in every other area of my life. Mm-hmm.
And I just have to see, I feel like sometimes when I'm in these podcasts with people, I have these voices that, like, it's like almost the voice from the audience going, but she is disciplined, right? Like, it's like we're listening to you. We're like, this is probably the most disciplined person I've heard in my whole life. I mean, like, there's just so many things that you are. But I love the fact that you are consistently pulling yourself down. What's next? What do I need to work on? Where do I need to show? How do I need to show up? What do I need to sharpen the tools that God has given me? And I just so love that. I love every aspect of that. So the one thing that I ask our guests to give to people is, typically when people listen to this podcast, they might be going through a hard time or they might be really questioning themselves, because a lot of women, we start to kind of go into situations and they're toxic And we, because we've been in it for so long, we've lost all the things that you're talking about, our authentic self, or maybe we didn't have it in the first place and we just struggle with imposter syndrome, or, you know, we've been code switching for so long, we don't even know who we are, right? What would you tell that woman, this woman who's working, who's struggling to really figure out, is it worth it? What can I do to start working on me? And she's lost. What would you, what word of advice would you give her right now?
I would say that you are not alone. Mm. That the situation you find yourself in is a situation you will get out of. Mm. And that there are choices that you can make to immediately make a difference. Mm. And every change in your life starts with a decision. Mm. And that once you decide that you don't like where you are or what's going on, it's up to you to make that change. No one else will make the change for you. And it starts with the decision. Every moment, every day, every morning is an opportunity to start all over again. If there's something you did today or yesterday or last 15 minutes that wasn't the way that you wanted it to be, you can start all over right now. And so I'd say if you're struggling in an environment that's not the best for you, continue to function in your best there. Be content in the space that you are growing in, because even every challenge is an opportunity for growth. Mm-hmm. And I believe that God's provision helps you even in those spaces, and that these things are not to harm you or to hurt you, even if they feel that way. They make you better, and that there are things that you can do to set yourself up for the next position and make a plan for that. Mm. Make a plan.
I think you're set up to help us all. Hey, honk your horn, okay? If you cooking something, you better saute them vegetables, because and do it with purpose, because Latanya's out here helping us all. I felt like I just was ministered to. You know, thank you so much for the work you do. Wow, the Shriver Law Poverty Center is on race, if I said it the right way. They're really blessed to have you. Where would you... I'm certain that people out here in our Rise with Diana podcast land would love to follow you and support your efforts. One, where could they follow you at? And do you have an ask of this community for the work that you do?
So I am at the Shriver Center on Poverty Law. I would encourage you to go to our website. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Instagram, but I don't post very often there. And I'd say reach out to me if you have a question or you want to connect.
Yeah.
I'm open to that.
So I have to say, as we close out, that, I'm blessed by you, because you don't know this, everyone, but maybe soon you shall, that she writes these beautiful devotionals that I get to read. And, you know, when you have people in your life, they just come at the right time and it's the right thing. And I've been so blessed to share them with so many people that I love, even my own family, and my son, who reads these things and loves it. So I just want to say thank you for blessing my life. Thank you for coming on to this podcast. I'm certain that after being on this podcast, there are going to be several more opportunities that show up to you. And I just believe that's just God ordering your steps. And so thank you so much for being here. And, by a timestamp of this, maybe the next time that people listen to this, they might be going, did she run that marathon? Because I know people are going to want to know. I'm going to let y'all know when she does in a future podcast. We might have to have you come back on and share a little bit about what's next, okay, and how it went. You know, did you publish that book? All the things. So thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. Thank you. I really enjoyed this.
fantastic. Well, please, everyone in Rise with Diana podcast land, take a moment, follow her, let her know that you appreciated the words that she had to say, subscribe, let your folks know about this, and we look forward to seeing you next time. And just so you know, sometimes not having it fit anymore is a good thing. Thank you so much. See you next time. Thank you for being with me today. If you found value in this podcast, be sure to like and subscribe to be notified of weekly content. You can also learn more and follow along with me on any social media channel and by going to risewithdiana.com.